2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Hear now the word of the living God. But as for you, Timothy, in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Let's ask God to bless the hearing of his word. Father, just as we have heard it being read, your word, may it come to us again this evening. Your word that is all powerful. Your word that is inspired by you. And I am simply your messenger, the one to proclaim it. What has been inscripturated here, may it come out and be understood, be taught, that we might learn to be wise unto salvation. Father, may you minister to us by your Holy Spirit, opening our ears to give us understanding, that we might understand more deeply the wisdom of your salvation. And we ask this in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have, didn't bring it here, but I have a handout. Anyone can take one today, and it's basically a discipleship process. It's helping people to grow from infancy to maturity. And this morning you heard a text that is part of that first phase of being discipled as a young believer, if you can use that scripture for young believers. And here, even tonight, you can use this scripture here. Ones who are taught of the Lord in the scriptures. And the theme of this whole discipleship process is from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance and faith in God. For so many people, they stagnate in their growth, in their maturity. They do not move on beyond from the elementary teachings and principles. And this is where, through the teaching of God's word, you can move on to maturity, from infancy to full adult maturity. And it says here that there are elementary principles, foundational truths. And in that discipleship process, you would teach basic things like, who is God? That God is one in three persons, equal in power and glory. What is man? Man is totally depraved, radically corrupt in their nature from original sin. Who is Christ? He's unique in his person. Salvation is only found in him and his work on the cross, his substitutionary atonement. These are basics of the faith. And our response to that salvation is repentance and faith, that we receive Christ by faith to be justified, declared righteous in the eyes of God. And finally, the doctrine of last things of judgment, that there will be a final judgment where Jesus Christ will sit on his royal holy throne and he will separate people like sheep, like the shepherd separates sheep and the goats. Those of the goats, the unbelievers, will go to eternal condemnation. And those who have believed in Christ will go to eternal life. Those are basics of the faith. And I imagine most of you know this already. But have you moved on from those elementary principles? Have you gone beyond those? And this is what we're talking about this evening. If there was a chart that would represent your life, the beginning of your life in Christ is a point on the chart. And that is justification, the point in time in which you once and first believed and that you were declared righteous in the eyes of God. That's a point in that chart. But then there's a curve. This is what we speak of, the process of sanctification, growing in sanctification, in holiness, being renewed and being conformed to the image of Christ. What would that chart look like? Is it a small growth curve? Or is it rapidly growing steadily? Even in all of our lives, in our sanctification, there are times where there are plateaus. There are times maybe some people backslide. But we know that Christ is seeking for all of us to grow into maturity. This is the exhortation. Move beyond the elementary principles. Continue in what you know. Continue in what you believe. And continue to completion. Those are the three points that we're looking at today. Now, at the time that Paul was writing this to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, Timothy was about 50 years old. He already had about 20 years of ministry, of laboring together with Paul. Now, Paul, on the other hand, was finishing his ministry. He says here in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, I'm already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That was Paul's life. He was finishing. But Timothy, he had 30 more years of ministry, according to what we know in church history. 30 more years. And Paul is depositing this letter to Timothy to continue. Those are the first words in verse 14, chapter 3. Continue. Continue, Timothy. As for you, continue. And continue. This is the main point of this message. Continue learning wisdom for salvation. And there are three ways to continue learning wisdom for salvation. The first is to continue in what you know. Continue in what you know. Verses 14 to 16. As for you, continue in what you have learned and from whom you have learned it. What do we know of Timothy? Timothy was a man who grew up in the faith. His mother, Eunice, taught him the faith. And so did his grandmother, Lois. We read that in chapter 1, verse 5. We also know that Timothy's father was a pagan. He was a Greek unbeliever. So it was his mother and his grandmother who raised Timothy up in the faith to learn the scriptures. It says here that since, in verse 15, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Now, this word childhood is also translated as infancy. And the word is used for John the Baptist when he was still in the womb, his mother's womb. That's young, infant, in the womb, not yet born. And then also it's used of the baby Jesus in the manger. From infancy, even while still in the womb, Timothy was being taught the scriptures, had been acquainted from infancy in the scriptures that led to what? It was able to make him wise in salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to all the time is Al Mohler. Maybe you listen to him. And he has a podcast that he basically studies, he reads up on all these newspapers and publications. And one of the articles that he had read was entitled, Language Learning Starting in the Womb. And this study shows, there's a study that was showing that babies in their, still in womb, in their third trimester could recognize the sound of their mother's voice. So much so that they prefer their mother's voice in that language that the mother is speaking. Well, that is a great time to start to teach your children, mothers who are bearing children now. I don't know who is at this time, but that is a time when your children are hearing your voice in the third trimester. And then when they are still very young as babies, they listen, they hear what is being sung in family worship, what is being taught around the table. They hear the word of God being read. They're hearing these things, be acquainted with the scriptures from infancy. It begins then. Even with my own children, I used to preach to them when they were still in the womb. Mothers, you have an incredible opportunity to know the influence that you have with your children, that from infancy, as you train them up, as you raise them up, your voice, your words that you speak to them, the influence is so great in leading them to wisdom that is unto salvation. And for all of us parents, all of us involved in the training up of young people, let's talk about boys, the training up of boys to begin with. What do we want our boys to turn into? Men of God. Our boys to be men who are described in 1 Timothy chapter 3. They're qualified to be elders and deacons. Whether they be are becoming deacons or elders in the church, at least that's a standard. We can train them up into that character of being an elder, qualified to be an elder and a deacon. Or training them up to be husbands, as are described in Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3. And what about our girls as we train them up to be women of excellence? Reading Proverbs 31, that when they become a wife, that their husbands would praise them. That they too would be exemplified in Ephesians chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 3, women of excellence. We have this standard in the scriptures to train up our children, our boys and girls. What about adults? For those who are adults now here, that perhaps you have been raised in the scriptures, and whatever you have learned from your parents, the word here is continue. Continue in what you know. Continue. If you have not been raised in a godly home, whatever you know from the scriptures, from the teaching of the scriptures, continue in what you know. The goal for all of us in our maturation is not to know intellectually the scriptures. That's not the kind of acquaintance of the scriptures Paul is talking about. But is that we would be taught of the Lord, so that we would know the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 54:13, we read these words, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord." That is what we desire for our children, that they would be taught of the Lord. "And so great shall be the peace of your children. For our children to grow in knowledge, it is for them to be firmly rooted in the faith in the Lord." To know Him, who He is, and whose our children are, and whose we are the Lord's. That's the first, is continue in what you know. The second is continue in what you believe. Same verses here, continue in what you believe. When he says, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Timothy was convinced at this point in his life, convinced of what he was taught. Just as Paul was saying, he was convinced of what he was taught by his mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, and Paul's teaching as well. And it was all from the Holy Scriptures, the sacred writings. And that was the knowledge of truth that he has been taught. He was taught the knowledge of the truth. And this was in contrast with the false teachers, the ones where it says in verse 13, evil people, imposters who go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul knew that he was releasing Timothy into further ministry, and he would be surrounded by many false teachers. But what Timothy had learned from Paul was the knowledge of the truth that would lead to salvation, unlike those who were deceiving with falsehoods. And God uses the scriptures, the truth of the scriptures, as an instrument to lead us to faith, to awaken faith, to saving faith. And the great story of faith is a woman named Monica, the wife of a non-Christian, a very pagan man. Even the children were not believing in their youth, but she prayed for them to know Christ. And her, especially her son, was very promising. His name, Augustine, even in his youth, ignored his mother's warnings. At the age of 19, he ran away with a woman, and he lived in licentiousness and immorality for all those years until he was 31 years of age. And he was convicted in his spirit. And one day he was sitting outside, and it was though he was hearing a voice. And it was the children's voice, a voice of children saying, "Take up the book. Take up the book and read." And so he took the Bible and he opened it up, and he read the first thing that he saw, Romans 13:14. It says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." And as Augustine describes in his Confessions, it says, "Light infused into my heart and the darkness of doubt vanished." That's where doubt is replaced with faith, through the power of the scriptures. And you can go through many doubts, many bouts of doubting in your journey of faith. There are times where people, they really doubt. But the scriptures will always lead you to the truth. If you continue on the path of worldly wisdom, of the philosophies of men, it will only lead to further doubt. But the scriptures will awaken faith in the true God, in the knowledge of the truth. And this is where we find true wisdom, being acquainted with the scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is taking the knowledge of the scriptures and applying it to your life. This is faith in action. Is taking what you know and putting it into practice. It's not just knowing Christ, not even knowing the scriptures. Satan knows the scriptures better than any of us, but he's not applying it. It is for us to apply the word of God with spiritual understanding to our lives, that we might be wise in this wisdom that is for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That we might be knowing Christ, be known by him, and be found in him. You might know all of the scriptures, but how much are you applying the scriptures in your life? This wisdom that Paul is speaking of here is a daily practice of taking the scriptures that you read and study and memorize, and let it lead you in your application of scriptures to wisdom. And that's a wisdom for salvation as you have faith in Christ. So many times we hear the scriptures, they are an intellectual exercise as they're being taught, or we're reading the scriptures, simply an intellectual exercise. But it must touch the heart. In Romans 10:9, it says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus," Jesus is Lord, "and believe in your heart," faith comes from the heart, "believing that Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved." That is salvation, is from the heart, believing that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And it says, "When you have believed, you are justified. and with the mouth you confess and you are saved. So salvation is by faith. It begins with trusting, believing this word, and believing on the God of this word in Christ. Salvation is by faith from the heart. Now, if you have believed, then continue. Continue to completion. That's the third point. The third way in which we learn wisdom for salvation. Continue to completion. Verses 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Do you believe the scriptures as they are being defined here? All of scripture is God-breathed. This is where we find the doctrine of verbal plenary inspiration. Let me break that down. That all of scripture, that every word that we read in scripture is spoken by God. These are words that come from God. Every word is given by God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as the word of God, as it actually is the word of God. That's verbal inspiration, that every word in this book is of God. Plenary inspiration, that means all, complete, full. Everything in this word, from Genesis to Revelation, is inspired of God. That's the plenary aspect of inspiration. Romans 15:4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. All of the scriptures, every word, all of scripture is inspired. And inspiration is saying that it is God-breathed. When it says this word, it is breathed out by God. It speaks of the exhaling. When we breathe, there's inhaling and exhaling. And it's the exhaling part. When God speaks the word, he exhales the word. 2 Peter 1:20, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit carrying the writers of the scriptures, God breathing his word. All of scripture, verbal, plenary inspiration, is profitable. It's useful. It says it is beneficial for what? For four things. For teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Teaching, that speaks of instruction and doctrine. Reproof, rebuking and refuting error. Correction, those who have gone astray, reforming character, and training in righteousness. The discipline of training in the Word of God. That's what the Scriptures are for. And so therefore what? In order for what? It says that the man of God may be competent. That word competent is also a word that speaks of completion, being thoroughly furnished, being adequate, being qualified for what? For every good work. All of Scripture for every good work. All of Scripture for every good work, that we might mature and continue to completion. I love to watch triathlons, and in the 2016 World Triathlon Championships, there's an incredible finish that I encourage you to watch, but I'll describe it to you. There are two British triathletes, the Brownlee brothers, Alistair and Jonathan. They very often win these races, 1-2, or they share the wins. And this time, Jonathan was in the lead. In the last kilometer, he was near to the finish, but he starts to waver. He starts to falter. He starts to totter. He was dehydrated, heat exhaustion. He was going to collapse. And his brother Alistair comes around the corner, and he sees Jonathan about to fall, and he grabs him. He takes his arm, puts it around his neck, and he literally drags him, just pushing him along, helping him along to finish the race. And right at the finish line, Alistair pushes him over to be second because another one had passed by. Well, it's a beautiful picture of what we find in the Christian life. That there's a finish line for some that is very near, for others that is very far. Well, we don't know when that is, but there are others who come alongside and assist us to finish. But we all have a race to finish. It is all for us to continue to completion. For Paul, the finish line was very near. He was ready to finish. But for us, as we don't know when that will be, God, knowing that, He has given us the Scriptures. And notice that it's not just for us in personal study, but all these things that are here are for those to teach us, to train us, to correct us, and to reprove us. Do you have those people in your life who do those things for you? I hope you do, because we need people ahead of us in the race, and we also need to encourage others behind us to finish as well. Just as we see in Titus chapter 2, there are the older believers training the younger ones, the older women training the younger, older men training the younger. Is that the pattern you have in your life to finish this race? People teaching you, reproving you, correcting you, and training you in righteousness, that you might continue to completion. From infancy to maturity, from the beginning of your life to the end, to completion, God puts people in our lives. It begins with parents. And if you're a believing parent and you have young children, this is the window of time you have with them. It may be very short. If you have young children, you have years that will pass by very quickly. That is the time for them to learn the Holy Scriptures, the sacred writings, to be acquainted with them, that they might know Jesus Christ, the way of salvation. Will we, any of us, ever be perfect examples to our children to follow? Will we falter ourselves in our own race, and it seems as though we never achieve this maturity? Well, there is no such thing as Christian perfectionism, perfect maturity. But the Scriptures speak of continuing, of straining and striving for that maturity, whether we reach it or not we will not reach it. That perfect maturity is the time where we will be glorified in Christ. But we strive for it. We press on toward it, increasing in wisdom for salvation. None of our efforts in our striving will lead to salvation. But the efforts are necessary. And the Scriptures continue to equip us with this wisdom that leads to salvation. You know this Scripture very well as we conclude. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We see the perfect balance here. That salvation is by grace. By grace you have been saved through faith. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ here tonight? And salvation is by grace. It's a free gift offered to you in Christ Jesus. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then here's the other part of us, we being his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Salvation is by grace, but we continue in his grace, striving in the good works that he has for us. So continue to know, continue to believe, and continue to completion as you learn, as you grow in wisdom for salvation.